Tonight on Real Ghost Stories Online, a group of children is captivated by a dark, shadowy figure that they discover online, only to have that figure come off of the screen.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802. Our phone number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them, you sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode. And what's going on in your world today?
Well, it's another one of those days, and we talked about it a little bit last time I was with you, but I hear the tease and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so good, you know?
It does. This one looks really interesting, and it's an interesting dynamic where it, you know, a lot of times you talk about, you know, kids like playing with a Ouija board or this or that. This one is a little different. It's involving some technology. What's your opinion on that? With the fact that we have this world now where obviously, you know, computers are almost an old thing. They have everything's on everybody's phone. And kids have just so ready access to messing with any of those things. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it more easy for them now to, I guess, you know, conjure some things up when they don't know what they're doing? What's your opinions there?
Well, I think as we evolve as humans, where, you know, all this technology comes into our life, and the old days of it being Ouija boards and seances and all that kind of stuff, while people still sometimes partake in those things, I think technology has allowed us to partake in similar things a little differently. I mean, there's so much technology that's used right now. When you do paranormal investigations, some of the cameras out there can now see things that may or may not be seen with the naked eye, all that kind of stuff. So I think that, you know, like stories like this, and I don't know the details on it because you always keep it from me till we hear it. But I think stories like this, there could be some validity there. I mean, if spirits or energies can manipulate moving things across a desk, why can't they manipulate the images that we see on our screens, on our computers? So yeah. I think it's another door that's opened up. And I think in some ways it can be good because we're learning more about other things that we can't see, feel, taste, smell, all that kind of stuff. But I also think that sometimes that could be a door that we'd rather not open.
Sure. It all kind of comes down to the intent and right. And what the person is using it for. If it's someone's using it, you know, for studying, for research and correctly, or if it's a kid going, let's see if we can talk to my dead, you know, so-and-so. And it turns out you don't ever talk to dead so-and-so. You get something else that comes through. But right. The intent is the biggest thing. Let's jump into the first story. Again, 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It says, so this is my experience of paranormal activity. Started about a year ago. Hopefully it's over, but the memory of what happened will haunt me till the day I die. I promise everything I talk about in this story is 100% true. It all started one day last year in November. Me and two friends, Cassidy and Oliver, were sitting in the back of a sixth grade social studies classroom. We were bored like any other kids would be. Cassidy told us something interesting that I'm still not sure is true, but started everything, she said. When a friend of hers got a phone call in the middle of the night from a random number, she answered it and heard weird noises and random numbers. She also said she sent her the number. Of course, we were curious. We looked up a recording of someone calling the number and YouTube and heard weird sounds, almost demonic type noises on the other end, and a series of numbers. We replayed it again and again until we'd gotten them all. It was another phone number. We plugged in Oliver's earphones, I forget since they're AirPods, but for correction, wired AirPods, I guess, into his phone and called that number. The same thing happened. First, we thought it was a pre-recorded message. It was not. Each time, we're getting different numbers. We got bored and left the number alone, shrugged it off, and forgot about it. Little did we know, we had just made a big mistake. That night I was watching YouTube on my computer. It was around 1 a.m. when I had the sudden urge of a nudging sense to go look out the window. I live in a cul-de-sac with a way for the sewer in the middle. There's a street lamp that shines on it, so I know I saw something there. It seemed to be a shadowy black figure standing directly on top of it. At first, I thought I saw things that maybe I should go to bed. Felt like time had stopped working. I stood there for what felt like hours, just staring at it. I knew it was male. It was about the size of a normal 13-year-old kid. It was all black, like a solid shadow, though. I can't describe it. I then broke away and went and got my computer to take a picture for proof, but when I got back to the window, it was gone. The weirdest thing about that night was after I saw him, I looked at the time. It had only been about a minute. I was confused. I'd stood there for at least an hour, I thought. The whole time I was calm. I went back to watching videos and then went to bed. I told Oliver and Cassidy what had happened the next day in class. Cassidy said she had seen her dead cat the night before. And Oliver, he saw the same shadow too, except it moved. He said he saw it running towards his house. That's the only reason I know his story was true. He'd not lie about sleeping in his parents' room, which he did that night because he was so scared. He's one of those kids, even for a prank, that will let things get to him. Later during class, Cassidy said she saw the same black shadow me and Oliver had seen behind a teacher. Oliver and I saw nothing. That night, there was no incident and nothing happened. The next day, Oliver said he thought he knew what or who the shadow was. He said that he had this odd old well in his backyard. He said every time he walked by it, he heard strange noises in it. Then I had a date put into my head. Not by me, but like something or someone wanting me to know something. I did not hear it talking, but it somehow put it through my head. The person in the well was the shadow kid. The kid died in 1983. I am a fan, I will admit, but at the time I had no idea what fan was. I told Cassidy and Oliver, who were confused. Oliver said he was going to call the number again, and Cassidy and I pleaded with him not to. By the way, this was the day before Thanksgiving break. Then Oliver got sent out of the classroom because he got caught talking, and he called it, despite our begging him not to. That night I was taking a shower and heard the distant screams of that boy in my heart. Not audibly, I could just feel it, pleading, begging for help. He sounded scared and desperate. Then I heard him being dragged away. After my shower, I asked my parents if they heard screaming, but they did not. I emailed Oliver and Cassidy about it. They were not at their computers the entire break. After the break, I told them what had happened, but they had no more experiences. Neither did I until the first few months of the pandemic. I was talking to a trusted online friend who lived in Australia when suddenly I had the feeling of being watched and this weird feeling inside my back left hip bone. Not outside the bone, inside the bone. I looked at the corner and I see the shadow boy standing there and I'm frozen. Then it appeared to wave. I sense a small, sad smile coming from him. Then he disappeared. I immediately told my friend. Thankfully, they believed me. Keep in mind, this is in the middle of the night. That was the last time I ever saw him again. A month or so later, I had another thought put into my head. Alex, I immediately knew that was the name of the boy. Later that summer, after a long time of not getting anything, I started to get more info from Alex. He showed me from his eyes how he died. I believe he was pushed into a well. He had an older brother named Mark and a little sister. She looked a lot like a character I knew from online about creepypasta, but at the time I did not know what creepypasta was. Anyway, he told me he wanted me to bring him back from the dead to say goodbye to his older brother. I told him that's impossible, but he insisted I could find a way how. Then eventually it clicked in his head, and he understood. He stuck around for a little bit. I've always felt but never saw him again, never heard him since the shower incident either. He showed me from another's perspective how his sister died as well. She had walked downstairs one morning wearing a pink nightgown. She had green eyes, brown hair, was clutching a brown bear tightly to her chest, and I heard her thoughts too. Where's Mom and Dad? Where's Alex? Where's Mark? She never said anything, though. She was in the kitchen, and then she turned around, and there was this tall, white man, all white. Nothing but a white top hat with a black stripe on it. No details, just white. She screamed and ran up the stairs. She locked herself in her room, but somehow the thing got through the door, and she ran past him down the stairs and out the front door where she stopped. This isn't where I live. I live in the city, she thought. All she could see was a tall, wild, grassy field in front of her that stretched for miles. Then the man put a hand on her shoulder, and she instantly calmed. She felt that they had been friends for a while in life. Come on, Sally, let's go inside and play, it said, and guided her into the house. The scene then, in my mind, changed to Mark's perspective, who watched it from the field. Unable to move, he was screaming for him not to take Sally as the door closed. And the vision ended. I said I was sorry to Alex, but the only thought I had at that moment, it just scares me to this day. I'm not sure if I'm in danger, but nothing else has happened yet. Don't play with a strange man. Run away. Do not look at him. Do not listen to him. If you see him, you need to run. Those were his parting words for me. I've not felt his presence or gotten any more things put into my head since that day. I can only hope he was able to rest with his family. I do not want him to stay trapped here. If he's still out there somewhere, though, I hope he is happy. So, interesting story. Obviously, a lot going on there, and something where, you know, you're taking it from the perspective of a young teenager that, you know, anything is possible, I guess. And so many of these things can get very fantastical very quick. But that's the problem of being a teenager and having experiences like that. It's hard to be believed because it can be so fantastical sometimes. But I think sometimes when you're younger, that's when you end up having more experiences than not.
I wanted to have a sound effect ready that went because my mind was blown at that one. I wasn't sure exactly, you know, what to make of it. Originally, it sounded like, you know, a movie plot or something like that.
Yeah.
And yet it sounds like the writer of this letter probably has some abilities when she was talking about, you know, knowing things without being told. There's a lot of people that I've come into contact with who have abilities, and their whole life, they always thought they were crazy because they could see things or they could understand things that others couldn't, and they thought they were nuts. And then later on in life, they finally realized that they actually had abilities. And a lot of times, that's how information came to them. Like, It just kind of appeared. It didn't necessarily appear to their vision, but it appeared in their knowledge, these bits of information. I also think it's interesting, like, even if this story isn't 100% real or it's fantastical or whatever, it's amazing how different generations are scared by different things or how the media creates those images for us as well. Mm-hmm. Like when I was growing up, my mom would make us watch Dracula movies right before bed. And I'm like 4 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my entire night was spent knowing that there was a coffin at the end of my bed and Dracula was going to come get me. this particular individual saw shadow figures. There was the whole computer thing with the generated numbers and all that kind of stuff. Technology that wasn't there when I was younger. So I wasn't afraid of those things. The fear comes in different forms, I think, in the different generations you're in. But definitely a great ghost story.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
I called in previously in regards to my daughter having dreams about someone my husband had gone to school with, and she had passed away several years back. She and my husband had lost touch, and my daughter all of a sudden started having these dreams, and this lady was coming to her and telling her things. And I don't know if you remember or not, because I know you get a lot of phone calls, and I get that. But there's been more things that have happened. It's just been some strange things, and it's kind of moving even beyond the lady that appears in her dream. And I think I mentioned in the last phone conversation that when Lily, that's my daughter's name, when she was younger, she would see what she would call the gray people, and she thought everyone saw them, and they would run so fast they would disappear, or they could jump up into trees, or they would just disappear, and they just ran so fast. That's when she would say, "Mama, they ran so fast, they disappear." And then as she got older, she realized other people didn't see it. And then she started questioning herself. But I think she's really started to come into her own and be really confident and know that this is just something that she's dealing with. And it's a safe place at home to talk about. And I honestly think she gets it kind of from my mother. Just because of some of the incidents, and I can talk about those maybe at a later instance, but we recently lost an aunt, and Lily had came to me and said that we were going to lose a family member very soon. My aunt passed very, very young. As a matter of fact, she was in her early 50s. And when I asked Lily, you know, I assumed it would be my grandfather, which would be Lily's great grandfather, but it was not. And later on, after it happened, I asked Lily, you know, did you know who it was? And she said, no. And I said, did you not want to ask the lady? I said, could you not? And she said, yeah, I could ask her. And she said, but I didn't want to know, because I didn't want to see that person every day and know that this may be the last time I talked to you. She said, because I knew it was coming soon. And then, for instance, like the other night, I heard knocking on, it wasn't the front door. I could tell it was not the front door. I couldn't tell, just it woke me up in the middle of the night, and it was a pretty intense knock. And then I realized it wasn't just a knock, it was a noise, a lot of commotion. And so I get my husband up, and I'm like, I hear it again, and I'm like, I think there's someone in the house. So immediately we start going to my children. I have another daughter. I immediately start going, and before I can get into the hallway out of our bedroom, I run into Lily, and I'm like, are you okay? Are you okay? And my husband goes and checks on my other daughter. And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. And I said, I just heard knocking. I said, you know, I heard commotion and I heard knocking. And I said, there it is again. And she's like, oh, Mom, it's just the shadow people in the corner of my room. So I said, do you want to come and get in bed with Mommy and Daddy? And mind you, she's 12. And she's like, no, I'm not scared of them. There's no need to be scared of them. They're just doing their own thing. And so the next morning I brought it to her attention, and I'm like, do you remember this? And she's like, vaguely, but she's like, I was half asleep. And she said, I remember the commotion because it woke me up, and I remember the shadow people, but I don't remember really having that conversation with you. She said, I remember. I said, you went on to the restroom. And she's like, yeah, yeah, I do. Yeah, come to think of it, I do remember telling you it was the shadow people in my room. And I just went on back to bed. So I'm assuming it's starting to get more intense. And I've been asking her lately, or just at random, I'm like, have you spoke to so-and-so lately in your dream? And she had told me that there was a message that needed to go to a male family member in that particular lady's family saying that she was going to either visit them in a dream or she had already visited them in a dream, but it wasn't a visit. It was real. She was there and she's proud of them and she saw them and she felt it was a male and that she felt that, you know, it was something they needed to hear. They were having a hard time. I did communicate that to the mother. The mother was kind of in shock and hasn't gotten back to me. But I do think it has moved past just the initial lady in the dream. I think it has moved on. And I will ask Lily occasionally from time to time, you know, have you seen her? Have you talked to her? And she's like, Mama, you know, I'm sorry, I can't tell you everything. And when it's time for me to tell you something, I will. And when I can, I will, but I can't tell you everything. That's just how this works. So that's kind of where we're at. I was just trying to keep you updated because I had told you I would do that before. It does seem to get a little bit more mysterious just because I'll see things out of the corner of my eye, and before I can mention it, like shadow people, I'll see things out of the corner of my eye, and before I can mention it, she will bring it to the attention that there is someone, and she won't even look at the person. She'll just say, there's someone to the back left of me, and you just saw them, didn't you? And I won't have to say a word. And she's like, they mean you no harm. They mean you no harm. They were just there. And they will let you know if they need to tell you something. So anyway, I was just trying to update you on just kind of how everything was going. So, yeah, I appreciate having this outlet. I appreciate everything you guys do and being non-judgmental. And I thank you. Have a great evening.
That would really be an interesting ability to have, to be able to see those things, to sense those things, and then tell them to people. What would be even more fun, too, is just to start telling people that there's somebody standing behind them and just making up stories and just seeing how long you can go with it.
That would be something you would definitely do. I know
I've
you that well.
Done it.
This girl is 12 years old. I mean, it sounds like her abilities are incredible, and the fact that she's not weirded out by it. I mean, she seems very, very comfortable in that skin. Mm-hmm. I'm blown away by that. Like, that would be freaking me out if I were 12. Yeah. She seems to have a good handle on it. My only concern there a little bit is she is still a child, and even adults can sometimes be lied to by the energies and spirits around them. So I would want the family to keep a real close eye on her and maybe even reach out someplace to see if they can find somebody that can help her hone her skills and protect herself against anything that could come through that's bad.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing because she seems very comfortable with them, but at the same point, could also be somewhat, you know, as anyone is at that age, just naive to what may come through, while a lot of it may be good, you know, what could also be out there.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, the proverbial guy in a van with candy at the schoolyard. It could be something very similar to that, but in the spiritual world, and you would hate her to be caught up in that.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for sharing that. 855-853-4802. Here is a audio clip that was sent into us from a listener. Hi.
So I'm going to tell you guys a paranormal story, I guess. I guess it can be considered paranormal because, I don't know, there's no logical, I don't know. there could be a logical explanation to this, or not, I don't know. We were trying to rationalize it and we just couldn't find an answer to it. So I guess it's more of an unexplained mystery. So about, I'm going to say like 5 years ago, I went downtown with a coworker of mine to this building. She had something to do. And is this building is one of the oldest buildings here in the town we live in. So we checked in with a security guard, and we knew we had to hurry because we went during our lunch hour to drop off some paperwork, some legal documentation. And so the security guard told us what floor we needed to go to, and we went into the elevator. We pressed the button in the elevator where we needed to go. Then when the elevator door opened, it was this floor where it seemed as if it had been abandoned. All the lights were off. It was a long hallway. Nobody was in there. There was like absolutely no sign of life in there. It was creepy as hell. Me and my coworker just kind of looked at each other and we're like, is this the right floor? We looked at the number on the elevator, which said it was the correct floor that the security guard told us to go to. But yet, it didn't seem to be a working floor. So we decided to go back downstairs and ask the security guard, hey, you know, we were just at that floor you told us to go to, but there was nobody there. It was creepy as hell. Actually, none of us stepped out of the elevator because it was so scary and there's so dark, like no lights at all. You know, are you sure? And he's like, he just gave us this look like, are you guys insane? Like, there's absolutely no way that is the floor that you are describing, because like people have to be there. So he called up there. He was thinking maybe they're out to lunch or something, but even so, that what you're describing cannot be it. So somebody answered and we were like, what the hell's going on, you know? So he's like, no, like they are there. So again, he's like, go back to the same floor. He gave us the same floor number. And so we went back in the same elevator, pressed the same button. Again, it stopped at the same floor. But this time, when the elevator opened, it was a completely different floor. It was full of light, full of life. The floor plan was actually different. It was full of people. And me and my coworker were just looking at each other like, what the hell? I actually messaged her yesterday because I was downtown and I remembered. And I messaged her to see if she remembered. And she did a little bit. I kind of had to refresh her memory. But I wanted to get her views on it to see if she remembered. So I have that conversation here just for shits and giggles. Do you remember what happened to us in the elevator?
Oh my God, that's right. It was like the freakiest thing. I'm trying to remember, and it was something just very, very odd. It had something to do with the floor that we ended up on. I don't know if it's like we moved, but we didn't move. We ended up in the same spot. It was just something weird like that, right? It had something to do with the floor we were on, but I don't remember. Now you got me thinking. My God, yes. It was the strangest, oddest thing. We sounded like crazy people. Like we were like, no, we were on that floor. And then I remember we looked at each other like, this is where we were at, right? Yeah, we went back and there was life and everything was normal. Yeah, that is so, God, I forgot about that incident. Yeah, let's not go back to that building.
Very interesting elevator story. I think we've ever had one quite like that. But thank you for sharing. What on earth do you think happened to them?
I mean, as somebody who investigates weird stuff and just likes to know, I'd want to go back to that building and see if we could find a different floor that resembled what they saw the first time. And, you know, maybe from a practical standpoint, the elevator took them to a not necessarily a non-existent floor, but one that wasn't in use. But from another standpoint, maybe the elevator took them to a whole different plane of existence and they were on that floor, but just not in that time period. I mean,
yeah,
who knows? What a great story. And the fact that she had the extra audio and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the woman's like, let's not ever go back to that floor again. I'm like, yeah, that would be my plan.
That's what comes to my mind, would be like a different time period or something. Like if this was the correct floor, but was she seeing it, you know, prior to it being, you know, active, you know,
right,
for whatever reason. But I'd want to learn about like the history of that building then, and trying to figure all of that out. And, you know, what has it been? How has it been, these different things, and maybe try and connect some sort of dots there. I don't think I could ever forget that experience.
I don't think so. And I think my first, like the first thing I would do would like try to find like a stairwell and try and find out what floor you're on and try and travel back to the front desk that way or something. I don't know, but I like, it really wants me, it makes me want to go there right now and check that place out.
I know. I want to know what the building is, because I want to go do some investigating of it. But great story. Thank you for sending that into us here on the program. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person and EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material, advanced episodes, and more. And we thank you in advance for that. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.